Western civilization. It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we always welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please do not call unless we actually ask for calls, because we have with us this evening our good friend Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and we're going to be talking about what's happening financially to our country. But before we get to that, I just want to give you a little understanding of how the game is played. And here's how the game is played. Banks create money out of nothing, and with the support of the central bank of individual countries, they massively expand the amount of money that can be borrowed. They expand the money supply, and they create prosperity. And the more money you pour into an economy, why, the more prosperity there is. And as the money moves back and forth, being acquired by one and then being, of course, utilized to buy something else, why, you create a tremendous prosperity in any community where you massively expand the money supply, and then prices begin to go up. But eventually, when prices begin to go up too much, you threaten to lose control of the value of the currency completely. So then you've got to begin to contract the money supply, and this is what central banks are supposed to do, and they should have done here in America a decade and a half ago, is massively contract the money supply and allow a lot of the people who are speculating to go bankrupt, but at least you can maintain the value of the currency and not destroy it, as they're in the process of doing today. So now, of course, we begin to see the interest rates going up, as we begin to see the fact that throughout the, at least certain parts of the world, in Japan, they're beginning to contract the amount of money that the banks are allowed to lend. We're beginning to see the whole world monetary system, because the whole world monetary system is on a fiat money system, begin to contract. Isn't bad yet, but I believe it's just a matter of time before we begin to see dramatic changes. And with that as a background, Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us again.
Well, it's very nice being here. I always love being on your program. And I thought that was a wonderful dissertation.
A two-minute course on world economics. And now our audience knows as much as most college graduates. So pick up the story there from, what's happening to the housing market? I understand it's sort of it's stagnating a little bit. It's not collapsing across the country, but it's not expanding at least as rapidly as it has, is it?
No, it is in varying degrees from place to place. A year ago, last month, the real estate market in America topped out. It became obvious that there was going to be some sort of a slowing last September. And since this time last year, the amount of homes and condominiums for sale have doubled or more. And then the prices have gotten soft. Although in some areas, prices are still going up, if only a wee bit. And there's a lot of homes in the market where people, they just haven't got the message yet. And sooner or later, because some people are going to have to sell, they lose their job or they decide to move to another area of the country or the world and so on. And sooner or later, that million-dollar home is going to be offered for $880,000 or $800,000 or whatever.
Now we'll be back here in just a moment with Bob.
And they will start coming down.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go ahead, Bob. And you're saying that, you know, sooner or later, why, we're going to begin to see a drop in the prices of real estate in the United States. This has happened a dozen times going back to colonial days. After the inflation comes the recession, and certainly we saw that in Tokyo in Japan, where, you know, at one time the value of the land in the city of Tokyo was greater than the value of all the land in the United States, just about. And now, of course, a lot of those prices have really collapsed, haven't they?
Well, real estate came down about 80 to 85%, particularly land. And in some areas like Osaka, it came down 70, 75%. That has somewhat abated. Up until this past month, the sale of condominium and homes had started to rise. And for the first time since 1990, the Japanese economy had inflation. And because it's having inflation, and quote, it's recovering, and I really don't think so, but anyway, we'll say that it is. And so what they've done is they've withdrawn a large amount of capital that was available for loans from the banking system. And I think they just finished doing what they have to do in that regard. And it just so happens that tomorrow is the day when the Bank of Japan is going to decide if they're going to raise interest rates from virtually zero to 0.25%, or 0.5%, whatever. And that's being reflected in their longer bonds, and I think they're going to do that. But interest rates are going up in other parts of the world. But except for Japan, we are not seeing a diminution in the amount of money and credit that's available. It continues to increase in major countries at a rate of about 9.5 to 10%. It's higher in the United States and higher some other places. And so the effect of higher interest rates is being offset or neutralized by this continued increase in money and credit.
But, Bob, that doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're trying to stop inflation, you raise the interest rates and contract the money supply. We're raising interest rates and expanding the money supply. It's madness.
Well, it's madness only because they have no other alternative. There is no way back, and they have a choice. They inflate until they can't inflate anymore, or...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman, and I was simply pointing out that ordinarily, according to economics, when you want to slow down the inflation, why, you raise the interest rates and you contract the money supply. That's how you begin to bring the money supply and the economy back in balance. On the other hand, at the present time, not only the United States, but throughout the world, they're raising the interest rates to fight inflation and expanding the money supply. And as I said to Bob, this doesn't make sense. And, of course, I was in a debate recently where I was accused of insanity because, of course, what I was suggesting, none of the things really make sense. And the truth is they don't if you look at them logically, but very little logic in the world. So you pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, the reason they're doing that is that they don't have any other choice. And so they will inflate as they raise interest rates until they either can't anymore or they'll pick a spot where they want to have their depression. And that is caused by the curtailment of the issuance of money and credit and keeping interest rates at the same level or perhaps higher.
But won't this have a devastating effect on our economy here and the economies throughout the world?
It will. But again, they don't have any choice because the die has already been cast. And they did this on the presumption that all of the things that they wanted to have in place would be in place to deliberately cause a worldwide recession, depression. And the reason they want that is that so they can manipulate the world into a position that they will be happy to accept world government.
I think you're absolutely right. And without that understanding, so much of this doesn't make sense. But isn't this going to, here in the United States, have a tremendous impact on the welfare of the status of the middle class? Won't this eventually, of course, destroy the middle class here in America?
That's the intention. Now, we've lost about 7 million jobs in the last 6 years. And that includes not only manufacturing, but also service jobs. And the amount of jobs that have been created are minuscule. I think the number is somewhere around 800,000. And so what's happened, you've had an evolutionary process where a great many jobs have been lost that pay, we'll say, an average of $25 an hour, and they've been exchanged for jobs that pay probably $12 an hour. And so people might, should, probably do have half the buying power that they had just 10 years ago.
And certainly this is what they're offering the employees at Delphi and some of the other automotive parts industries. They're saying, take it or leave, but you either go along with us at $12 an hour instead of the $25 you were getting, or we're just going to pick up and move to China. Which do you want?
Well, that's why I contend that the only way to stop this is to withdraw from the World Trade Organization and NAFTA and CAFTA and implement tariffs on goods going into the United States from foreign countries.
But, of course, you're looking at a logical explanation. You're looking at a solution. I don't think they want a solution. I don't think they want a logical approach, do you?
No, they don't. And that's why they have to be forced into us. And this is why I tell the subscribers of the International Forecaster that we have an election coming, and we can buy a couple of years and maybe get something accomplished if we can throw out all but a handful of incumbents, both parties, out of office. And then maybe Congress will get the message that they better do what the people want to do or they're not coming back. And those jobs are very cushy. They pay a lot. People advocate public figures, right or wrong, and whether they're right or wrong, the public figures. A good example of that was the eulogies today at Ken Lay's his funeral. And they would say what a good guy he was and straight arrow and all this. And this is all part of the syndrome in America today that it's okay to do what he did as long as he didn't get caught. And he was really a good guy because of this and this and this, which offset the bad that he did. Well,
he destroyed the
called is a person like that is a sociopath. And to a sociopath, nothing is wrong.
He destroyed the savings
the epitome
of so many
of Ken
people.
Lay, and it's a reflection of what one of the things that's wrong with our society.
Well, of course, when you have a society that's lost its moral compass, when you have a society that really repudiated God from its schools, from its government agencies, you know, everything is relative. We're teaching our children there's no right, there's no wrong, and then we should be. Why should we be surprised when people, of course, don't accept there's anything wrong with stealing the life savings of hundreds of thousands of people?
Well, if people don't get rid of their debt and they don't put their if they don't get the money out of the stock and bond markets, and if they don't get into gold and silver based assets, they're going to be in serious trouble, because that's where we're headed. And you and I both have been studying this for 46-47 years, and we probably have a pretty good handle on things via our training, but more by our experience. And we've seen these evolutionary processes take place. But this is the payoff. And most people don't understand why it's being done. And even when you tell them they don't want to believe you, well, they will when they lose their house and then when their kids are in the street and they got nothing to eat.
Well, at one time, of course, nobody starved to death in America. Even in the worst part of the Depression, there were always people there to offer a helping hand. But when you impoverish everybody, why, there are not going to be very many people with helping hands, unfortunately.
We have a different society today.
Yeah, I know we do.
We have a society that believes in criminality. These people aren't going to stand for anything. They've never had a bad day in their life. And they've got enough income to last for 3 weeks, probably. They have no savings. And they think that the world owes them a living. And they're in for a giant surprise. And emotionally, many, many of them are not going to be able to handle it. And they're going to commit suicide.
Well, I think that, you know, as we see what's happening, certainly within this last few days, the price of gold has really been gyrating and was just jumping up frantically today, and the price of silver and platinum. Do you think this is in response to what's going on in the Middle East, or is this the normal recovery from an artificially created drop here a few weeks ago?
It's both, and the government was in the market today suppressing gold and silver prices. Because gold, on the news of the invasion of Palestine by Israel, should have kicked it up that much. I mean, you saw oil go up $1.50, and we should have had higher prices. So we have a government which manipulates markets all the time, 24/7. And that's different. We've never had that before. Now, markets, by being suppressed, once they break out, they go bananas. The stock market's been held up. If they're unable to hold the stock market up, it's going to collapse.
And, of course, this is through the plunge protection team that really has about $100 billion that it can throw in the market to manipulate those stocks so that they all go up together or they all go down together.
Who is this?
No, I'm saying, isn't that the plunge protection team that's doing that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Working Group on Financial Markets, which is also called the plunge protection team. And they have, I'm guessing now, because they won't tell you what they've got, even though it's a government agency, the U.S. Treasury, and they do that through the Exchange Stabilization Fund. But my guess is they've got about $500
billion. $500 billion.
To fiddle around with every day. And the buying power by the Fed right now is around $180 billion. So they've got $600 to $700 billion to go into the market with and manipulate for a 24-hour period. And nobody wants to talk about that. There's very few people, even in the newsletter business, that will, because they're afraid of the government. They're afraid they'll come and find something wrong with them so they can shut them up or put them away or maybe even do away with them. And the government and international banking doesn't want the world to know this. And if you notice, and I'm referring to something you said earlier, they talk about the interest rate and they talk about it and they talk about it. But how often do you hear anybody in the media from any corner say, yes, interest rates are going up, but at the same time, money and credit is as well. You never, ever hear that. And that's the key, because the minute that giant credit machine stops or starts to stop, you can figure you're going to have another year and a half of hyperinflation, and then you're going to get deflation.
And so you're anticipating we'll have another year, year and a half, or maybe even a couple of years of continued inflation. Now, what about the commodities? Do you think they're going to continue going up? I'm talking about the metals like copper and nickel, zinc. And what about, of course, wheat and corn and those sort of things? Do you think they'll continue increasing price?
It's my feeling that just what credit is into the system already, and the fact that they have continued to, do what they're doing, I believe that commodities will double at least from this level.
Well, that will certainly people will make fabulous fortunes in that. But of course, if you get into the commodity market, that's a sure way to lose, because most people who get into the commodities and begin speculating, doesn't matter how clever they are, they usually lose. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. And Dr. Stan, our guest Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and I was simply talking about, rising price of commodities. Everybody thinks they're going to be smart enough to play the system, and of course the great tragedy is that, at least through my experience, I found that the people who get into the commodity market are able to make a small fortune. out of a large fortune. Unfortunately, most people are not psychologically or mentally prepared for that sort of a market. They're better off to avoid it, even though, of course, because they're motivated by both fear and greed, and eventually fear destroys them. Would you say that's a fair statement?
It is, and if you're going to be in the commodity market, you have to be a professional, and you're not a professional. So if you must be in the commodity market, you must hire professionals to manage your money for you. And the same is true in the foreign currency markets, like Forex, as it's called. You must have your money managed.
And other dependable people to do that, though. Of course, you would always be concerned that if somebody was managing your money, they might be looking more after their own interests than yours.
Well, usually these people do the best they can because more often than not, they're getting 20 or 25% of the profits. So there's very little fear that they're not going to do what they're supposed to do. The fear is, are they as good as they should be? And you hope that they are. But that's the only way to play those markets.
Well, should people even be playing those markets? Should people be trying to protect what they have by investing in gold and silver and gold stocks and silver stocks and platinum and palladium and certainly getting money out of the country into foreign currencies? What should people be doing at this time to protect themselves?
Well, I think gold and silver-related assets are really the place to be in for people who have more money than they want to put into those areas. The only other alternative, I think, are Swiss franc and Canadian dollar-based treasuries. And there'll come a time when the Canadian dollar-based treasuries will have to be sold. But in dollar and Swiss franc firms terms, I believe that the Canadian dollar will do well over the next year and a half.
Well, now, why do you say that there will come a time when the Canadian-based securities will have to be sold?
That would be Canadian treasuries. And because they're going to be beset with the same problem that all other fiat currencies are beset with, and that is they have no gold backing on their Canadian dollar, just like the U.S. has none. And they have no gold, period. And as far as I know, the U.S. has no gold because the U.S. has not had an audit on the gold that they're supposed to have since 1954. And one has to ask themselves, well, people have tried to have that happen, and it hasn't happened. So why would they react that way? Why wouldn't they have an audit? And if you're not having an audit, you get something to hide.
Well, of course, what about something like Icelandic bonds? They're paying 10% or so.
Well, my adage is, and I've been in this for a long time, you never, ever, ever, ever chase a yield. You get what you pay for in life. And if a Swiss franc bond's paying 3.5%, or a Canadian dollar treasury bond is paying 3.5%,
and left off right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapin. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I was simply asking Bob, where people who wanted to invest their money might invest it. And he suggested Canadian treasury bonds. I asked about the Icelandic bonds. Icelandic bonds are paying 10% at the present time, 10.5%. And Bob, what was your reply to that?
And so you have the Icelandic bond paying 10-odd percent. And there's a reason for that. There's an awful lot more risk, evidently three times as much risk, in owning Icelandic bonds as opposed to owning bonds printed and sold by Switzerland or Canada. And so you don't chase yields because in the final analysis what happens is that you lose your capital because of the denigration of the currency that you're in.
Well, I remember many years ago when some of my friends were investing in Mexican bonds because you could get 25% interest on the Mexican bonds. And so they were putting their savings into Mexican bonds because 25% was a great return. You know, it really was a great return until, of course, the peso collapsed and they got their money back in pesos.
Incidentally, we predicted that, and our subscribers and my clients at the time made out handsomely on it because they got out, and we were shorting the Mexican peso, and so we did very, very well at that. I have a knack for currencies. I don't do them all the time, and interest rates as well. And I have probably been more accurate in the last 20 years than any economist in the world on interest rates.
Well, certainly Warren Buffett seems to be investing in foreign currencies. He doesn't seem to have much faith in the American dollar. And he's a lot smarter than I am, for sure. What do you think about Warren? Of course, he lost, apparently, close to, I think, $800 or $900 million about last year, you know, shorting the dollar.
Well, that's true. But you have to remember that Mr. Buffett is one of the elitists in our country. And he gets information that you and I would never get. And so we can't compete with the Buffetts of the world. And on top of that, I find it very, very strange that he takes his whole fortune and puts it into a foundation, and along with Bill Gates, and makes him the manager of those trusts, foundations. And Mr. Gates has a monopoly. Microsoft is a monopoly. And if you notice, they just got fined again in Europe. And Mr. Gates is also a contributor to the Lucius Trust.
No, I did not know he was a contributor to the Lucius Trust, but I shouldn't be surprised.
No, and so what has happened is Mr. Buffett and Mr. Gates have been allowed to make these fabulous, enormous amounts of money. And for that, when they pass on, a good part of that money has to go in the foundations so it can be used by the elitists for their purposes.
Well, of course, I'm very, very concerned that that money is going to be used for vaccinating the children of third world countries and for population control. And, of course, the big question is, why would you be trying to save the lives of children by vaccinating them on one hand and pushing population control, which is the antithesis of that idea, with the other? But that's a subject for another evening.
Well, it's very simple. They're going to get rid of them all.
Now, you're absolutely right, because it's all about fertility control. They know what the experiments show, and not only are the animals aborting after they receive their thimerosal, which is in the vaccines, but their offspring, have lower fertility rates, and their offspring, for generations afterwards, you destroy the genetic makeup of people, of animals.
No, I've got books, Stan, that go back to the early 1800s, in the beginning of modern eugenics, and the very wealthy elitists, conspirators, illuminists of the world have been promulgating those ideas at least for the last 200 years.
You know, they're all Malthusians, huh?
Well, he was a latecomer.
Sometime we're going to have to talk, maybe do a program on that some evening, because that's one of my favorite subjects, and I thought it was all started with Malthus, but that's another subject again. Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes with Bob Chapman. We'll tell you how to get in touch with him. And, of course, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, prepare for difficult times. Don't try to play the system. I'm not smart enough to. Maybe Bob is, but I think even Bob will tell you. Just try to protect what you have and try to be able to survive the coming difficult times, because I think we're moving into the most difficult and dangerous financial times of our entire lives. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is of course, Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, and we're talking about really what's going on today. Well, Bob, one of the things I noticed that certainly the gold stocks are not doing very well. Certainly gold has been going up very strongly here this last few, week or so, but the gold stocks are just sort of not doing that much.
Well, there's a good reason for that, and it's part of the market manipulation being run by the United States government. And it's a temporary thing. The gold shares will go forward and they'll move again. And one of the things that this has done is it scared people away from the market. Every time you have a correction like that, and people know it's generated by their own government, people fall back and say, gee, I think I'll wait to buy. And they usually do come back in again, but they do wait to buy. And another thing, too, is the summertime is dreadful throughout the world as far as business is concerned. Especially in the markets. I mean, in Europe, just as an example, starting in about the 15th of June, there are families that go away all summer and just don't go home. But particularly in August, I mean, you can go to Paris and London in August, and there's very few people there, and because they're at the seaside someplace. And so that's a factor in markets in the summertime. It's not only gold and silver commodity rated, related markets, but it's also in all markets.
All right, fine. So you think that it's simply perhaps sometime later this year or next year things will begin moving up again?
I think the beginning of September they'll all start jumping up and down. But I think that the stock market will be lucky if it can hold on where it is, which is just under 11,000 on the Dow. They're trying to hold it together for the election, and the Republicans want to control both houses again, and the administration is, and congressmen are telling the Federal Reserve, you just hold it up until after the election. After that, you know, if you want to have a recession for a year and a half or something like that, that's fine.
In other words, the congressmen want to get reelected, and they know that they can manipulate our psychology by keeping the Dow up. It's pretty easy to manipulate the Dow. I guess they can simply juggle the stocks that are in it at any time, and what is it, 40 or 40 stocks, the major ones they have to manipulate to create the perception that these are good times?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
All right.
And there's other facets besides that. But
hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman, and we'll welcome your call.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you my phone number, too.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Bob Chapman. And, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and how they can get a trial copy of the International Forecaster. And I want our listeners to know that I look forward to getting that every week, and when it doesn't come, I almost don't know quite what to do. Fabulous. I mean, we're talking about 40 pages that come out every Saturday or Sunday, and it gives you the overview of what's going on throughout the entire world and the economy of the world. So how can people get in touch with you and learn more about the International Forecaster?
They can get a free introductory copy, either by hard copy, by mail, or by email. And email, of course, is a preferable way. And all I have to do is call toll-free to 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. If they would like to visit my website, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International FORECASTER.com.
And you were saying last time we talked personally that you were getting, of course, or subscriptions from all over the world, aren't you? And recently, people listening on shortwave or the internet throughout the world?
Yes, I've always had them, but they're really starting to pick up outside the country. And just this past week, I had four from England. And then the week before, I had one from Italy and Switzerland and Sweden and so on. And so the broadcasts on that are on the shortwave are reaching a lot of people. I would think that I probably reach 30 to 50 million people a month because I'm on about 10 programs a week. And so we get a lot of circulation, plus they can access my site as well. So, and my site gets tremendous amount of hits. And the average hit is 7 pages, which is very, very high.
Well, there's a lot of fascinating information there. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob, and he's been at this for, well, the better part of 50 years, had a very, very large company of his own dealing with stocks and bonds and commodities, and now, of course, we can share from his wisdom. But I think that you'll find that we are entering the most difficult financial times of our nation's history, because in the past there was an easy solution. When, of course, you had a depression, you expanded the money supply. When you had an inflationary period, overzealous inflation, you simply contracted the money supply. But, of course, they can't do that now. I mean, they're in a situation, and they have manipulated us into a situation where they are threatening the very solvency of our currency. And, of course, if you go back and you read what Alan Greenspan wrote back in 1966, incidentally, we have that the complete article in my Financial Tsunami Syllabus. That's the Financial Tsunami Syllabus. You need to read what Alan Greenspan said in 1966 and realize that he still believes this is accurate, although he did everything wrong when he was, of course, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. And you have to ask yourself why we would do something that he knew was wrong, that was going to end up destroying the value of the savings and of course, the future of most Americans. So anyway, of course, that's it's all laid out in my Financial Tsunami Syllabus. But you have to understand that down through the ages, gold has been certainly the source of savings and stability for nations and for individuals. And then, of course, Bob, there are a lot of people out there who say, well, but if we start getting into trouble, they're going to nationalize gold again. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, government can do anything it wants. And so the best way to own gold is to buy it and take delivery and leave no, you know, trail behind. And my feeling is this: if they come after our gold, they're going to come after our guns. And I think people are going to be given a very clear-cut choice as to what they want to do and what path they want to follow. And if the government were to do that in the middle of the Depression today as opposed to 1933, I think they might get a hail of lead.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, and certainly we hope that it never, never gets to that point, that the government never comes after the people's guns and their wealth, and of course, civil unrest could lead us in the same path as they have in Iraq today. But I believe that there are certain people within the elite who would just love to see that sort of thing, because they have an intense hatred for America and certainly for the sovereignty of our nation. And only by destroying this nation will they be able to accomplish their real goal, which is the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, let's go to Ed, who's calling in from Idaho. Ed, do you have a question for our guest tonight? And once again, let me just mention our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ed. Is this the Ed who I talked to this last week?
Yes, it is, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Good to hear from you again. Go ahead.
Good. My question is, my concern is not so much about the government taking gold, but what about the tax on it if you go to exchange it? In other words, let's say things continue to digress with the currency and gold reaches astronomical levels. What happens when you want to go to the coin store? They want your identification and whatnot in order to take cash on gold.
Well, there's not much you can do about that other than the fact that you can refuse to buy or sell. Yes, they could put a large tax on the sale of anything, and gold or silver, bread. Could be included. And so the possibilities, the permutations are endless. And I've always felt that you don't worry about that. You go into where an investment is solid for that time, and you make the investment on a long-term basis, and you just see how things develop. The world is a very uncertain place.
That's true.
And let me ask you a question, Bob. Ordinarily, if you sell gold today, do you pay a capital gains tax on the increase, or do you have to pay regular income tax?
You pay capital gains, and on the exchange-traded fund, you pay regular income.
Okay, fine.
And I do not advocate exchange-traded funds because they would be very, very easily taken over by the government. Yes, you'd get paid, and yes, you'd pay your taxes, but that's not what the game is about. The game is about having gold because it retains the value of your assets.
And I think this has been true for thousands of years, and nothing has changed. Someone once said there's nothing really new under the sun. Anything else you want to ask, Ed?
Yes. So just a bit more elaboration on this. Say you have 10 coins. You go to a coin store. Are they going to demand identification, or what's currently is happening and what may happen in the future, do you think?
Well, quite frankly, I haven't bought coins for the last couple of years, so I don't know what they're doing right now.
I don't really think they do ask for identification when you buy it. Unless maybe you're going to pay with a check, you can pay with cash, and I don't think they want identification. I haven't heard that, at least in California.
No, not buying, selling.
And selling.
Well, selling, they can do anything they want, and it can change from day to day. And so I don't have an answer for that. I don't think anybody else does.
Okay.
You can always use them for barter.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks so very much, Ed.
Thank you.
Tom is calling from Chicago. And hi, Tom. Do you have a question for our guest?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Real good. We thank God that you're on the air, and we hope that they never take you off.
Well, we'll be here as long as God gives us the breath and the ability to be here, Tom. And we appreciate your support and your wife's support. Anyway, what can we do for you?
Just a heads up, all the manipulation that the government has done, especially the suppression of the value of gold, which we know should be, probably Mr. Chapman would probably say even higher, should be around $2,100 an ounce right now, in very, very conservative terms. But the question that I have is that I bought gold when it was soaring in 1980. And I sat on it for many, many years, going through a divorce and losing a lot of it, and then buying back into it at the $225 rate, not a lot of it, but recently, in May, we shifted our strategy, my wife's, holdings, in such a way that we took a tremendous loss in early May because we got into it in early May, and we took she has a great deal of portion of her holdings are still in cash, and I tell her all the time that the cash buying power is going down at the rate which is ridiculous, and I always try to tell her that the German people in 1923 knew the value of their mark as opposed to the 1919. In 1923 was absolutely worthless. And that could easily happen here. Am I correct in assuming that, Mr. Chapman?
Yeah, we've got the same kind of situation. The reasons are different, but that's where we're headed. And we're going to end up with the same social, political, and economic financial situation that Germany was in 1925, 6, 7, and 8. And that's when the corporatist fascists that run our government will tell us that we're going to have world government. And so that's the playbook for the whole thing.
And I think, Tom, the thing you should be in tangibles and gold and in silver and in platinum and you know, in gold stocks and silver stocks and get some money out of the country. All of these things are the things that you should be doing, and you and your wife should be doing, to preserve some of what you are. Diversify. Don't put everything into one thing. Diversify and hope that some of it will maintain its value, because we're in for a real slave ride here, believe me.
What about energy stocks and energy services, they have tanked. They have not kept up with the price of the commodity. Why is that the case?
I think that the government is selling into that market to keep the prices of those securities down, just like they're doing with gold and silver. And you can see them doing it.
And you're talking now about Exxon and other major energy stocks?
Well, actually, these are like baskets of, well, Fidelity and Vanguard carry those kinds of funds that are geared toward ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, all of your energy service outlets. They are really haven't performed at all when you consider the price of the commodity at $76 a barrel, and you've seen tremendous losses over the last 2 to 3 months.
Well, of course, when they pay the retiring Mr. Lee, I think his name was Lee Raymond, from Exxon, $400 million for work well done.
$900 million.
Was it $900 million? Well, I guess I'm a piker. Anyway, anything else you'd like to say, Tom, before we let you go?
No, thank you so much for having Mr. Chapman on, and we appreciate your program every day.
God bless you. Bye-bye, Tom.
Bye-bye now.
Okay,
thank
fine.
You.
Well, Tom's an old friend. And Bob, do you anticipate that one of these days we're going to see exchange controls here in the United States? And well, could you explain to our listeners what the implications of that is?
Well, that could very well happen if they can't get foreign governments and others to invest in U.S. Treasury securities and agency securities. And what they would do is what England did during the 1930s. They said all of the pounds that are not here in the United Kingdom, they that are outside, will no longer be tendered for. In other words, we will not honor those pound notes that are outside the U.K.
So what happened to the people who were holding
them? Do the same thing.
What happened to the people who were holding those pound notes?
They get stuck with them.
And so basically they simply stole the holdings of people throughout the world who actually had been depending upon the British pound for as the reserve currency of the world.
That's correct.
And you anticipate that can happen again? In other words, we would say to people throughout the world and the central banks, sayonara, sorry, but of course we're not going to redeem our own money. Could that really happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or they may say to those holding currency outside the country and bonds and other instruments that we'll honor them, but for 40 cents on the dollar.
And that's exactly what Argentina did, I think.
They
only gave about 25 cents on the dollar.
Just recently.
Right. So we're living.
They've done that before. In fact, all the South and Central American countries in Mexico were broke during the 1930s. They all reneged on their paper.
And that's why, of course, you don't want to be in paper money or paper assets. And the history has told us, of course, that there's a golden rule, and that is he who has the gold rules.
And you're right. And so no matter what government may do, you have to take the path that's the right path to preserve your assets, because if they're going to take your assets, whether it's through taxation or confiscation, they're going to do it. And so you take the right path, which is gold and silver related assets at this time, and hope that they don't do that.
Well, I said,
your only alternative is to be in dollar based assets like U.S. stocks or bonds or whatever, and lose your money anyway.
Because you really think that many of the stocks are going to take a dive here before long?
Right after the election. And it may, I think that the Dow may get down to between 9,500 and 10,300 on the Dow before the election. But after the election, it's going to go back to 72-68.
Well, Christian, Richard Russell has said that he anticipates the time will come when the price of gold will equal, cross with the value of the stock market. And, of course, some people are talking about $5,000 gold. That would mean $5,000 Dow Jones. Is that possible?
Very, very possible. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that would wipe out the savings and the pension funds of most of our listeners.
Totally. And I talk about it a lot in the International Forecaster.
And you do a good job on that. I interrupted you. What were you about to say?
I was going to say, to answer the question, the gentleman called earlier, he was talking about, I think, $2,400 where gold should be right now. My estimate is $1,700 based upon inflation alone.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. We're going to have to wrap the program up. Our guest has been Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. I look forward to reading it every week, and you will too. Well, Bob, you were just saying you thought that the price of gold should be about $1,750 based upon inflation alone. Go ahead.
And Harry Schultz believes it's going to be $1,600, and Jim Sinclair believes it'll be $1,650, and we're the three oldest warriors left in this movement, with the exception of Jim Dines, and I haven't seen his projection or if he has one, and he's been involved in uranium as of late. And but we're all together and came to our conclusions independently. And that's just the beginning, because I think there'll be a lot of speculation after that. And I think that we're talking about something like maybe $3,500 or maybe a lot more.
How about the price of silver? Where is the price of silver going, and how quickly do you think it'll go there?
Well, I think it could go to $100 an ounce, but I can't give you a time frame. I can give you a time frame on $25 an ounce, and I think we can do that by the end of the year.
Well, that would be really quite a thing if it hit $25 this year. Is that really a possibility, do you think?
Yes, it is. It's a very distinct possibility. You've got a situation where you've got the four major market makers short more gold, more silver, than what's produced in a year. And you see the letters that I send out by Ted Butler, who explains it better than I can, and I'm an expert, and he lays it right out for the Commodity Futures Trading Corporation, and they just ignore him and have for the last several years. And the reason why is that the United States government is a manipulator.
Well, we're moving into exciting and difficult times. Our guest this evening has been Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and let me recommend that you get in touch with him, and once again get that telephone number out, Bob, so people will know how to get in touch with you.
That's toll-free, 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a treat, and we'll look forward to having you with us once again a little later this month again.
It's always a joy to be here.
Bye-bye, and God bless.
Okay,
fine. Well, our guest has been Bob Chapman. Hope you enjoyed it. And I hope that you'll begin making preparations. Do not put off. We're heading into very difficult times. You need to prepare in every way. And we'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest this evening has been Bob Chapman. If you have not yet read my financial tsunami syllabus, let me suggest it's got a lot of great things in it. It's got the text of the talk I give, and of course, we hope you want to get the talk. It's available either on DVD or on VHS, and gives you the history of how we got into the mess we are today and where I think we're going. But even more than that, why? Because so much of what's going on today does not make sense unless you understand the spiritual forces which have been energizing this whole movement. when usury was accepted by Western civilization widely, and of course it was at the time of Francis Bacon. And if you can't understand much about what's going on, unless you understand that Sir Francis Bacon was a Rosicrucian. And the Rosicrucians were part of the occult underworld during Elizabethan era, and they are still part of the occult underground today. And in those days, of course, one of the leaders of the Rosicrucians was a man named Dr. D, who was a British intelligence agent who always signed his letters 007. What is that reminiscent of? Why, James Bond, of course, and Ian Fleming understood all about that and the influence of the occult in the British intelligence agency during the era when Ian Fleming was part of the British intelligence. And of course, those occult influences are in the CIA and the British intelligence and intelligence agencies throughout the world today. This story is beautifully told in a prize-winning DVD entitled, and of course you can get it in VHS as well, but it's entitled The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. If you have not seen it, let me suggest that it is certainly one of the finest instruments we have to begin to introduce people into the dualism that has existed in American society since its inception, going back, of course, into the 1600s, and then how those played out at the time of the American Revolution, and how those same forces are at work in America today. And you will actually see in that George Bush, during his second inaugural address, saying, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What was he talking about? Well, of course, you'll want to see the DVD. Of course, you'll want to get my material on this and understand that the new order of the ages is the Novo Ordo Seclorum. You punch that in on your Google, new order of the ages. You come up with Novo Ordo Seclorum. That's the emblem on the back of the dollar bill beneath the pyramid, the unfinished pyramid, capped by the floating triangle that contains the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. And when you begin to understand the spiritual connotations of the emblem on the back of the dollar bill and the concluding remarks in George Bush's second inaugural address on January 20th, 2005. And you'll actually see that in the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. You'll see how this all begins to tie together. And you'll understand what we're really up against. And then you can perhaps help us to get the information out. We carry Megiddo 1. We carry Megiddo 2. There's a great new DVD that's out, put out by Joyce Riley and Dave N. Kleist to William Lewis, who did Joyce's DVDs. But this one is called A Nation Under Siege, and I have a small part in that, which you'll see Jim Mars and Joan Vian and Charlotte Isabey and so many of the people, Dr. Rima Label, so many of the people who are regular guests here at Radio Liberty. That's the DVD entitled A Nation Under Siege, and America truly is under siege today. Remember our telephone number, it's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, and you can listen to our internet programs there directly or indirectly 5 hours a day. You can tie into our shortwave programs. You can, of course, get in touch with Telstar 5 and get one of those units. You can listen 9 hours a day because you won't get much accomplished. But Joyce Riley's up there with us, as is Pastor Butch Paugh and Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer. We're proud to be working with them. So, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and that you'll pray for revival, because this truly is a spiritual battle, and pray for Radio Liberty. Dan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, of course, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Rick Salata, and we're going to be talking about something that happened to him recently. He actually manufactures the frames for guns, a perfectly legal occupation in the United States, and one of a number of private shops that does this, so people can actually go ahead and complete the guns, make their guns on their own, and all of the guns certainly are legal. And yet, of course, he was recently raided by, he says, somewhere between 20 and 40 men. Local newspaper says it was 20-plus men, but they would never let him see how many men there were there. He's a one-man operation. Why do they have to send 20 men to raid him, 20-plus men to raid him? And, of course, he was never allowed to see the letter that's supposed to come with a warrant. There has to be a statement as to why they're doing this, but they had it sealed. Now, you have to understand, with the Patriot Act, we lost tremendous freedom. The Patriot Act was only supposed to be to deal with the wicked Al-Qaeda terrorists. That's why we had to have the Patriot Act. It was never to be used upon law-abiding citizens. And if you believe that, why, there is some wonderful oceanfront property in Kansas we'd love to sell you. Unfortunately, the Patriot Act was never designed to track Al-Qaeda terrorists because our government isn't concerned about terrorism. Of course, we've got to tell you that we're concerned about it, and that's why we're fighting over in Afghanistan and in Iraq. But if they were really concerned about fighting terrorism, wouldn't you anticipate the first thing that the president would have done would have been to seal both our southern and northern borders so that no one could get across and the terrorists couldn't get into our country? And yet the southern border has been wide open, and since September 11th, 2001, and we're well over 5 years now, there's not been another major terrorist attack here, or almost 5 years now, there's not been another major terrorist attack in America. If all these terrorists are out there just wanting to kill Americans, why wouldn't at least a couple of them gotten across the border and derailed some trains or blown up some power stations or done things like that? And they'll tell you because we've infiltrated their organizations, and I believe that we have. I believe we know where all of the terrorists are. I believe the whole Al-Qaeda movement is thoroughly infiltrated and probably being as much financed as the militia movement was here in the United States, funded by the CIA, as the communist movement was here in the United States, in large part funded by the CIA, as the mafia is. Well, of course, we didn't have to fund the mafia. They were getting a lot of their money from the CIA because they were involved in drug smuggling. And if you doubt that, you need to read the book written by the brother of the head of the mafia. The book is called Double Cross. We carry it, written by Chuck Giancana, Sam Giancana's brother. Fascinating information. And you can understand that maybe the Patriot Act had nothing to do with protecting us. It was to be used against law-abiding citizens. Well, that is a background. Rick, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me again.
And, of course, Rick was with us on our afternoon program. I just wanted our listeners to hear about really what happened and how long ago was this raid on your business.
It happened on June 7th, and it lasted a whole day. My day of infamy.
All right, hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment with Rick Salata telling about when the PATF and the FBI and I don't know all the people, even the Mounties came there, the Canadians came there to his home. All right, Rick, tell the story.
Okay. We're back on the air?
You're back on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, what happened was on June 7th, the sheriff gave me a call and wanted me to come in and speak with him on some issues that I had been trying to talk with him about, which were Edwin Vieira's "Are You Doing Everything You Can for Homeland Security?" articles, which is to reinstate the militia. So that was the pretext to bring me in there, and I thought something was funny with that, so I went with my literature that I was supposed to bring with him, which when I got there, I was greeted by ATF and FBI. And what's interesting there also, I brought, actually I got a few of them here, the Miracle of America by Cleon Skousen and the 5,000 Year Leap by Cleon Skousen, a couple of pocket constitutions, and the FBI deemed them subversive and seditious material.
Now, did they actually tell you the Constitution was subversive, or was it Cleon Skousen's writing?
Well, I had a pile of these videos, and also
These were ones that you were bringing to the sheriff, who you wanted to talk to. Certainly, as a citizen, you would have the right to go to the sheriff, but it almost seems like the sheriff set you up.
Well, I believe he did, and I'm not all that upset with the sheriff. He handled things in a very good way under the current circumstances. I think he was deceived into letting them...
Why did they just come out and knock on the door? Why did they insist that you have to come down to the sheriff's office? That doesn't really make sense either.
Well, I think from my political views that we carry that, you know, I promote the Constitution and some of the other things. I think if they had just busted down my door and came in...
Well, they wouldn't have to. They could simply knock at the door.
Well, true, yeah. They could just knock and ask to come in with the warrant.
And you would have had to, you would have let them in, wouldn't you?
Well, I would have stopped them and read the warrant, and where the warrant didn't have a signed affidavit, I would have closed the door and said, no, you can't. Then that probably would have caused a problem.
Well, now, of course, there is supposed to be a letter with that. There's supposed to be something with the warrant that explains what this is all about. Isn't that the case?
Yeah,
hold on, thought there for just a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Rick Salata. And it was certainly in, I think, the 7th of June when he was called by the local sheriff who he had been talking to in the past about some of the things going on and asked to come down to the sheriff's office to bring information on his views that we are losing our freedom under this Homeland Security and so many of the things going on. But when, of course, Rick arrived at the sheriff's office, the sheriff wasn't necessarily interested in looking at the information which Rick had been asked to bring. He was greeted by FBI and BATF and other federal agents. And since he had a number of copies of the Constitution and some material written by Cleon Skousen and other patriots, did they actually tell you that was subversive material?
Yes, they said it was subversive and seditious, and why was I listening to this, and did I believe all this stuff?
And did you tell them that this is the Constitution which you have sworn to uphold as an agent of our government?
Actually, I didn't get that far. They kind of stopped me there and went on.
Were they polite?
They were relatively polite. They weren't, they could tell I was getting a little anxious and wanted to see the signed affidavit, and then, of course, they kept telling me that it was secret and sealed and that I would never see it.
How can they justify that? That would only be for a terrorist case. You were never to use the Patriot Act for law-abiding citizens.
Well, they never used the word Patriot Act, but one can only imagine why else it would be that way.
Well, I think, isn't that illegal to seal? And certainly before 911, they could never serve a warrant with a sealed affidavit, could they?
That I don't know. I'm not
Did
sure.
Did you talk to the sheriff at all about that?
Well, actually, he's no longer the sheriff anymore. He lost the election, which just happened. Actually, he lost the election the day before the raid.
Okay.
And so he's actually, his time is up, and he's out right now. But he said he did want to come and talk to me after he was a civilian again.
All right, fine. Well, let's hope that he does. Maybe you could reach him. There are a lot of good people in law enforcement. They know something's wrong, but after all, when you're told to do something, you do it, or you lose your job.
Right, exactly. And some of the things that I think the sheriff did was by calling me, and he removed me from the building. And then my wife and my two children were here. They're 2 and 3 years old. And my three-year-old son runs around with a toy rifle all the time, shooting, you know, imaginary bad guys. So I asked to call my wife so that she could leave the house because the ATF told me that they were going to come in and raid the house. And I didn't want, you know, the guys in the black suits to come through the door and my son's carrying a toy rifle and get shot. And the ATF wouldn't allow me to call, but the sheriff did override that and allow me to call because I was concerned about that.
All right, fine. Well, obviously the sheriff was concerned about what was going on then. Go ahead. So then what happened? Did they drive you back out? Did they allow you to drive yourself back out?
Yeah, actually, they wanted to, even though I was not under arrest, they wanted to handcuff me and put me in the sheriff's car to bring me out here and then unhandcuff me when I got here. And we were just down to one vehicle, so I said, I can't leave my vehicle here. We're only down to one, and my wife might need it and whatever. So the sheriff said, fine, you drive back and I'll sit with you.
And, of course, the thing is, this whole idea of handcuffing people is to dehumanize them. This is a standard procedure. It never used to be like this. But what they want to do is dehumanize people, and they've been working at this for a long period of time. You don't have to be guilty. You don't have to have any. All they have to do is arrest you, and then immediately they want to handcuff you and make you have that feeling of helplessness. And they're playing mind games, just as we see constantly on Law and Order. You know, when they got to serve a warrant and they got a whole SWAT team there to break down the door, and instead of knocking on the door ordinarily and presenting themselves and announcing they're from the police, there's the SWAT team with the people with their automatic weapons and their black vests and their militarized helmets. And we're to expect this is the perfectly normal way to do it. And then you see the good detectives roughing up the bad guys. Is this the way our system should really be working? Go ahead there.
No, I don't believe it should work that way. So next we came out to, my wife did get out of the building, and the kids weren't traumatized. They got away before they came in and did their little house clearing, make sure no one was in here, for officer safety, of course. My next-door neighbor, who was an eyewitness to this, he's a feisty old man, and he actually sat out on his porch with his binoculars in one hand and a rifle in the other hand from 9 o'clock till 5 when they left.
Well, he really shouldn't have had a rifle because, of course, we certainly do not want to take up arms against our own police. Whether they're right or whether they're wrong, we have to fight it out in court afterwards. You don't want to end up like Randy Weaver did,
right,
where they killed his son and they killed his wife, and then they gave him $3 million saying, "Oh, shucks, Randy, we're so sorry about what happened."
Yeah. So when we get back here, of course, we had the helicopter follow me out. And
they even had a helicopter and over 20 people.
Right, and plus my neighbor also said they had two snipers up on the hill.
Snipers up on the what were they anticipating, that you were going to have a major confrontation with them?
I don't know. It's there. I can't answer that one.
But they have snipers on the hill. They got a helicopter. They got somewhere. Do you have it? You said that you thought there were 40 men. They said there were 20 plus men. Whatever 20 plus is.
Right. And I don't know how many were in the team that came in to clear the house. They were gone before I got here. And
now, by clearing the house, what do you mean by clearing
the
house?
The SWAT team comes in and makes sure no one's in here, and they go through all the rooms, and then the worker guys come in, who are all armed with just pistols.
And now, what about the SWAT team? Are they armed with automatic weapons?
I did not see them. My neighbor said they were there. He said they were running around like chickens out in the yard.
And this is sort of like when they, when Bill Clinton sent 125 heavily armed SWAT team members down to Miami to kidnap Elian Gonzalez from his unarmed relatives. And send him back to Cuba to build up Fidel Castro's posture throughout the world. But, of course, people didn't understand that's what it was really all about. And they kept arguing about everything else, or the father wants, or the father had no alternative. When you live in a dictatorship, you do what you're told, or they'll torture you to death, and they'll torture your wife to death. And so the father, who had fully supported him, taking Elian out of the country, and, of course, his ex-wife had died, and everybody else on the boat had died, and... But our government was intent upon sending Elian back to build up Fidel Castro's prestige because, of course, Fidel is a close friend of David Rockefeller's daughter. And if you don't believe that, you need to read David Rockefeller's memoirs. We do carry the book. It's called Memoirs. And read about how not one but two of David Rockefeller's daughters are good supporters of Fidel Castro, the wicked Fidel Castro. Anyway, of course, when you understand, we've done everything we could to build him up, because what they really want is a country just like Cuba, with a ruling elite and everybody regimented from the cradle to the grave. That's why we've supported Fidel Castro all the time. We pretend to be opposing him with embargoes and, but of course the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis were absolutely fraudulent. But 125 member SWAT team went down there to kidnap one little tiny boy, and so they sent actually several teams in with helicopters and one SWAT team and then the other people, so there could have been 40 people there as far as you know.
Right, and I think she's forgetting, the semi-truck drivers. There's two of them.
They bring semi-trucks?
Well, they brought a semi-truck to haul off all my stuff in.
Well, but I mean, how much stuff did they actually take? Could they put it in the back of a pickup?
Weight-wise, no, they wouldn't have been able to.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Well, now, did they take your equipment, or did they just take your...
Well, actually, it was funny. When one of the doors was cracked when someone was going in and out, they actually tried to lift one of the machines. And, I mean, the lightest one I have is like 6,000 pounds, and two of them try to lift one, but what can you say?
What are these? These are lathes of some sort?
Yeah, milling machines and stuff. And my big machine is, 18,000 pounds.
Well, of course, the thing is that what justification would there be to remove any of your equipment or to remove any of the frames? Because you were manufacturing frames for guns, weren't you? Which is a perfectly legitimate occupation.
Right. Yeah, they're not firearms at this point. They're 80% complete or less. 80% is just a... determination to say that it's not complete. Some of them are less than the quote 80% mark. And you need to do machining with them and have, a drill press or a milling machine to do some of the stuff. And go through and finish them and then assemble them and kind of work out all the bugs with it.
Well, do you think that they object to what you're doing because there's no record of the purchase of these? Is this because they want to know every gun in America, every gun? Or what was the real reason for this?
Well, I think they've been trying to put the 80% market out of business just for that reason, that there are no serial numbers on it. There are no background checks.
But, of course, is there anything illegal in anything you've done?
What was that?
Is there anything illegal in anything you've done?
No.
And it's perfectly legal, and it's perfectly legal for people to make guns on their own if they want to and complete them?
Right. You can go right to the ATF's website under their frequently asked questions under firearms, and it's 6A, and it tells you that you can build your own firearm as long as it's not for sale.
All right, fine.
And,
of course, is it supposed to have some sort of a number on it or not?
No, actually, the ATF, the federal law, says that you need some kind of identifying mark.
Hold that off. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Rick Salata. We're talking about the day of infamy when they came with the helicopters and two semi-trucks, and we don't know how many men, but they had one SWAT team, and then they had another team. Your neighbor didn't actually count the number of people there. Were they wearing masks or anything like that?
I don't know.
They wouldn't let you see them then.
Yeah, I briefly talked to him, and he said they were running around, and they had their black suits on and everything.
Do they wear ninja suits, or do they just wear uniforms, or what?
I would have to say, from his account, it was the black suits. But.
No, well, anyway, of course, government officials wear black suits, but of course, did any of them wear the, you know, the bulletproof vests and helmets and all that sort of thing?
Well, the agents that I saw did have bulletproof vests on, because even the sheriff's department wears them. And everybody else was in plain clothes that were doing all the work. And most of the women here that were doing all the typing and categorizing and going through were not wearing firearms or didn't have
stuff. Now, wait a minute. What is there to do? I mean, what sort of an operation do you have that they need? They need 20 people, or at least 20 people, to go through all your things. Of course, they copied your hard drive and they took away all your frames. How heavy would the frames have been?
Well, the steel ones with all of them in there could be 700-800 pounds.
The steel, the total weight of all of
them. Yeah, the total weight of.
They took about 30 of your frames.
No, they actually took almost 200.
Took 200 frames.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So there's some weight there. Then they took some, you know, tooling and fixturing that I used to produce the frames, and those have some weight to them and all that. And they would have to go through and categorize what they took. They gave me a list of everything they took, although they didn't give me quantities.
And are you still able to operate, continue producing your frames with the equipment that they've taken? Is this simply a matter of harassment, or why would they take the tools, you know, that you were using unless they were going to charge you with a crime?
Well, that would be our question and the, you know, the million-dollar answer for, you know, why did they do this? Most of the attorneys think it's just for the records, my customer lists, and also to harass me because I'm one of the more prominent manufacturers. I've kind of rose up to, I make more of the Cadillac version of the firearms frames, and so I think they wanted to take me down a few notches because I also advertise on RBN. I've done a couple of shows with Alex Jones and Jack Blood on, you know, billing this before the raid. So it was basically free advent. They thought it was a great little project. And
you know, you think they're trying to just frighten you and intimidate you, or frighten and intimidate other people who are carrying out a lawful occupation?
Yeah, they've actually shut down the whole 80% market with this raid.
And you mentioned some 3 years ago, another fellow was raided who had actually done some things. Did he ever go back to business, into business?
Yes, he did, and he still sells my stuff. He was selling my stuff when I was raided.
I see.
So he was raided, and he actually did something wrong that they could have fined him with.
And they didn't fine him? They didn't really do anything to him at all?
No, because actually at that point in time, he was over in playing in the big sand pit.
Hold up. We'll be right back in just a moment here. This is Dr. Stan. Of course, Rick is telling us about another gentleman who did the same thing that he was doing, who'd been raided some 3 years ago. But you say he was over in Iraq at the time?
How long
would they raid him when he was in Iraq?
Again, I guess just for the intimidation factor. It was more in the wintertime, and he has a wife and four kids, and actually at that time he had an infant. And they put him out in the street in their pajamas in the winter time, with no blankets or anything, and it was a big deal there. I read about it, and I talked to him personally. And
so that's the sort of thing you'd expect from a Gestapo rather than from an American government agency.
Right.
I mean, children, out on the street without, do they have clothes on?
Well, they had their pajamas on because it was 5 a.m. in the morning when they broken.
Why would they come in the middle of the night? Why didn't they just come in the daytime? Are they trying to use nighttime as a means of frightening people?
Right.
That's what the Gestapo did. You always were afraid of the knock on the door in the middle of the night.
Right. So the problem was when they raided his house that day, he was injured. He was actually wounded over there. So I think they kind of backed off because it wouldn't look very nice if one of our soldiers from Iraq comes over here and goes into court wearing his Purple Heart. And
now, was he a National Guard or Reserve or what?
He's in the National Guard. Yeah.
Okay, fine. So he was over there called at active duty. And
right. Yeah, he spent 18 months over there.
All right, fine. And so was his business still operating when he was over there? What?
Yeah, there was another company that kind of picked it up and carried it for him while he was over there.
Okay. And do we have any idea what he did that was wrong?
Well, he actually manufactured a complete firearm and sold it to someone.
Okay, in other words, was it just one? Did somebody set him up? Because that's
no, actually, I think it was to a friend of his.
All right.
So he shouldn't have done it. And so they could have fined him for that and done stuff for him. But they took all his equipment, and basically they left him alone, and he doesn't make any more guns anymore and try and sell them without a license.
Well, now, of course, did he? Did they ever return the equipment that they stole from him?
No. So, to me, that's actually a bribe. You know, they took his stuff and said, well, if you don't try and get it, you know, back, I guess we'll just leave you alone.
Well, how did they know that it actually made this one gun for a friend, or was the friend certainly a government snitch?
Well, the rumor I heard was he was at a gun range and was saying how he got it. And, of course, it's different when you make it yourself looking. You know, it's something that you can tell you, not store-bought. So I guess there was an ATF agent there, and he was talking and said he bought it from so-and-so. And so the ATF checked it out, and I guess that's how that went down.
Well, I think that he was very, very foolish to have made it for a man who obviously wasn't a very good friend who would ever tell anybody what had happened.
True, yeah.
But have you ever done anything of that sort?
No, no.
And so you do not manufacture, you just manufacture the frames, and they came after you to harass you, so you would stop doing something which is entirely legal, but they don't want people, is it that they don't want people to be able to manufacture their own guns, or they don't want people to have guns that don't have an identification number on them, or what would the real motivation be for them doing this, or is this simply part of the pattern of harassing our people?
Well, it's all of that included. They want to get rid of the home gunsmithing because it is a booming business at this point. And there are no serial numbers, and there is no ID check. You don't have to do a 4473 form. You don't have to call a NICS check, do a background check, or anything.
Oh, now, you mentioned, though, that you actually would have people come and they could actually use your equipment to complete the guns, but they would have to do that on their own?
Yes. What I do is I have an open house every year, and people fly in from all over the country, and we set up the equipment, and we let them crank the handles and do whatever needs to be done.
Oh, of course. How do they get the barrel for this? How do they get the cartridge chambers, things like that?
Well, those are all readily available. They're non-regulated. Anybody can buy one. You know, you can just go online and buy all that stuff.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Rick Salata, and it's one of those tragic situations that, you know, but we see this from time to time. When we have rather officious government officials, remember what of course, Cicero had said. The budget must be balanced. Public spending must be reduced. The arrogance of officials must be curtailed. And assistance to foreign nations must be stopped, or lest Rome become bankrupt. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I was just quoting Cicero, who said the budget should be balanced, public spending should be reduced, the arrogance of officials should be curtailed, and assistance to foreign lands or foreign countries should be restricted, lest Rome become bankrupt. Well, of course, they didn't do any of those things, and Rome went bankrupt, and that was the end of the Roman Republic. But, you know, even in the days of Cicero, and that was said sometimes maybe 30 to 26 B.C., they actually killed Cicero in 26 B.C. because he spoke out and told the truth and tried to warn what was happening. But under any circumstances, officials in those days were arrogant. And unfortunately, there some of them are arrogant today. Now, some of them are wonderful people, but it seems that, you know, sometimes people who just love to feel important will get into key positions in the BATF and in the FBI and other government agencies and will misuse their power. And then who are you going to complain to? The government? So pick up the story there, Rick.
Well, who you want to complain to? There's nobody, really.
Well, you do have the course, of course, and you do have a lawyer, and you're going to be taking this case at least to ask them to return the material that was taken from you and ask them to return the frames?
Right. Yeah, we're working on that now to get that stuff back, and we'll see if that they actually arrest me or charge me with something, because actually I got a quote here in the paper that says that, you know, whenever, this is the ATF saying that in any criminal investigation that her agency is involved in, an arrest is always a potential outcome.
And so do you think they're just trying to frighten you to death?
They may be. They hurt me financially pretty good.
Okay, do you actually get can you get any financial compensation from the government for that and for putting that in the newspaper, which certainly has hurt your reputation, not only with your community, but across the country?
Well, true, yeah.
Why would they release make any sort of a public release of information?
We don't know.
You know, because that leaves them really open for, certainly a liability for doing something like that. They don't have to make any statement to the local press. By doing that, they tend to make you a public figure and to discredit you.
Right, and it says it's always potential. So the thing is...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Rick Salata, and we're talking about, of course, the BATF raid, the BATF FBI. Was there any of the other alphabet agencies there beside the Canadian BATF?
And the FBI.
And the FBI, okay.
Yeah. So they're trying to probably scam me, also hurt me financially, and try to shut down the 80% market, which they've been very successful at with this raid. Only two out of the seven people that I know that manufacture have gone back into putting them on their websites. Actually, one guy even stopped selling his videos on how to build guns, which it's a video. So he won't even sell those at this point. So they've really...
Of course, this is the sort of thing that, we read about the Declaration of Independence where the King of England was harassing the people. And they were doing it intentionally and using the British agents here and the Hessian soldiers to harass the American people. And that was what of course, infuriated the colonists.
Mm.
Do you think that they're trying to inflame and anger the American people? Because, of course, I wouldn't put it past them at all. I think they would love to see some sort of an armed resistance, and then that would justify declaring a dictatorship and killing a lot of Americans.
Well, that's always an outcome of that.
And, of course, that's exactly what they want, and I caution people, do not take their bait. I mean, I certainly think that you acted very wisely not to try to resist them. I know, of course, Bill Cooper, who was a talk show host, similar to what I do, and he resisted the police, and they simply shot him down like a dog.
Right. Yeah, at some point, people, you know, they can only take so much. And then
but, of course, that you can't let your emotions get the best of
right.
you. And if they mistreat you, why, of course, remember that they had to pay Randy Weaver for what they did. Now, what really infuriates me is the fact the American people did not demand. The people in the charge of the FBI all were fired. That's what they should have done. And the head of the FBI should have resigned instead of being promoted, and everybody else involved being promoted for killing Vicki Weaver and Randy Weaver's son.
Right. I guess what they're going to try and do is try and shut everything down and try to incite that. But also I think they fear that the American people are so numbed down now that it doesn't matter. They can just go and run roughshod over whoever they want, and no one's going to stand up and say anything.
We saw that in South Africa. I never thought the South African people would give up without opposition to the communist takeover that we brought to South Africa. And for the listeners out there who do not know, Nelson Mandela is a lifelong communist. The man who's in charge of police enforcement in South Africa today is a member of the South African Communist Party. Of course, we had installed Mugabe in Zimbabwe or Rhodesia, a lifelong Marxist. And, of course, the Red Chinese are there in Zimbabwe today maintaining law and order, and the people are starving to death, and already over 5 million of the, you know, of the original 13 or 14 million people have fled the country, and yet we brought that communist government to power. But I never thought the South African people would give up without a fight. And yet, psychologically, because of television and because of the games that they played with their mind, the good South Africans, both black and white, surrendered without opposition.
Right. And that's also what everybody asks is, where's your line in the sand? You know, at what point do you actually fight back?
Well, I think that you do not fight back until the majority of the people in this country value freedom. If they're not, whether the vast majority do not value freedom, we will not maintain our freedom. Our job is to educate. And your job is to get your story out. And,
right.
of course, to try to get the American people to know what happens, and, of course, to make sure that they have no reason to charge you. And if they do charge you with something that's dishonest, then, of course, to fight them at every turn and to use our legal system to expose the corruption that exists at the highest levels of our government today.
Well, that's what we're planning to do. Of course, I hope it never goes to trial. You know, I'd like to get my stuff back and do that, but, you know, someone's got to take this on and go through, and you need the support of the other gun owners.
Well, let me have you give the opportunity to get your telephone number or your website out, because I hope that some of our listeners out there will want to help Rick. He's he's got some excellent lawyers. He's got a man I know quite well, Ed Vieira. Ed is a lawyer, Harvard-trained lawyer, who's taken either 3 or 4 cases to the U.S. Supreme Court. Nobody has done that. And he's done a great job of getting information out. And I'm so glad you got Ed as certainly one of your lawyers on this team you're putting together.
Mm.
And I understand Gun Owners of America is pitching in and helping you?
Yeah, they put up 2 of their attorneys, and the NRA has put up 1 of their attorneys. And my local attorney, who's got his feet on the ground here, who has actually taken the ATF to court and won 3 times in other cases here in Montana.
Are they similar cases to this or what?
Not so much of this as far as manufacturing, but having illegal guns. And in all 3 cases, from what I've heard, the affidavits were bogus. And it seems like it's the same M.O. here.
In other words, but of course, if you use a bogus affidavit, isn't that an illegal act?
I would say so.
Now, was anybody then within the BATF charged or admonished for using a bogus affidavit? Aren't they held to the same laws that we are?
No, they're not. They get promoted.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for Rick, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Rick has a very good attitude. He's a good friend of Aaron Zellman, who we had as a guest just recently, of the Jews for Preservation of the Ownership of Firearms. And, of course, Ed Pierre. And so really there's just sort of a small clique of people that we all know. We all are working in the same direction, trying to get the truth out. Right, because the arrogance of officials must be curtailed, and if we do not do that, why, we're going to lose our freedom. Okay, let's go to Fred, who's calling from Philadelphia. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I think people should know that you did have a right at one time to examine the affidavit that was attached to a search warrant. There was a case called Franks versus Delaware, and it was a very powerful right. The Supreme Court decided that, but that has been reversed since, I think it was in 74 when that was promulgated, and then the Supreme Court and the federal court decided to yank that out away from the right of a of an arrestee.
Well, I think that what we have to do is put every limitation on the power of government. That's why we have the right of habeas corpus. That's why we have the judicial system. It's to curb the excesses of the judicial system. Our founding fathers feared the power of government and of the legal system, that it could be used against people and they could be hauled off and put in jail for weeks or months or years without ever having a fair opportunity for a trial. And of course we've seen that in with what happened at Guantanamo. And who were these people? These people were part of the Taliban that we were financing right up until September 11th. Why would we want to put these people in jail? I mean, they were simply part of a government that we financed and backed. And it really doesn't make sense. But go ahead, Fred.
Dr. Stan, I want to kind of briefly point out that I don't consider that we really have habeas corpus when you have a an incident of people being held without Americans who are not part of foreign terrorism and not part of sedition being held under the Homeland Security Act. There was one gentleman named John that was held in the city of Atlanta, and he was whisked away. He was illegally detained. He was a ghost detainee, Dr. Stan. And people don't really get it, that a ghost detainee in America is using the same process as a enemy combatant is used against an enemy combatant.
And I think I share your concern, Fred. One of the things that they just love to do is they want to arrest people because they're potential witnesses, and so they've got to lock them up because they may be a witness in a trial. What sort of logic is that? You have to understand that we have people in the current administration, and probably in the Democratic administration too, who do not believe in our form of government, who want a dictatorship. And your job, and Rick's job, and Ed Vieira's job, and my job is to get the information out and make people understand how precious freedom is.
It is.
Precious is being lost.
Thank you.
Anything else, Fred?
No, that's it.
And Fred, I want you to get everybody there in Philadelphia listening to Radio Liberty, will you?
Certainly I will. And do you come over on the dish, the Galaxy 5?
Let's see. We're on all sorts of various satellites. You can get us on Telstar 5. I'm not sure whether we're on Galaxy 5. I think we were at one time, but I'm not sure whether we are. But we are on Telstar 5 9 hours a day, if you can stand listening to us that long.
Yeah. Well, I think that what we have is there's a disconnect between people thinking that if you're an American citizen, this can't happen to you, or that you can't be have this Homeland Security Act used against you. And by the way, that's not the Patriot Act that they're using against American citizens. They're using the Homeland Security Act,
okay,
without charging people to detain and make these American citizens ghost detainees.
Well, of course, you have to understand we're doing that to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden.
I don't believe it.
Thanks so very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, we've just got a few more minutes here, Rick, to tell us, you know, what message you'd like to get out to the American people and what lessons you've learned from what's happened to you.
Well, what I'd like to tell everybody is they need to band together, whether you're a trap shooter or a target shooter or whatever, because they're going to come and take everything that you have one by one. They're just picking us off one by one. And we need to all stand together. There's 80 million gun owners. Every one of them can afford $1. It would be great if they could afford 10. If you could get 80 million people to put up $10, could you imagine the kind of fight we could put up and get this rogue agency disbanded?
All right, fine. Well, now, how can people get in touch with you or get your telephone number and website out again?
Okay, the website is ktordnance, ordnance.com. The phone number is 406-834-3611.
All right. Now, the first thing you have to learn on radio is you always give your telephone number twice, and you always give your website twice. So go ahead, get that telephone number out one more time.
Okay, it's 406-834-3611.
3611, and your website?
KT Ordnance, ORDNANCE.
Okay, ktordnance.com. And, you know, it's very interesting as we do this, and usually when I get new callers on or new guests on, and I admonish them, always give your telephone number twice. And then ever after that, they always give it twice. It's something you don't think about and most people don't think about, but it takes a while. First of all, people have to get a pen. They can only get a certain number of numbers in their mind at one time. But if you give it a couple of times, and we'll maybe try to give it one more time before we let you go, then they can write it down and hope some people there would want to give you a hand and sort of keep in touch with what you're doing and the problems you're having.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say the next thing, of course, my understanding is that you're going to try to get some information on the affidavit under the Freedom of Information Act. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. So the attorney's going to file that to see what we can get and try to get some of our stuff back and then see what kind of answers we get, which will tell us the next direction we have to go.
And of course, you know, there's so many things going on in our country, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder how many of our listeners have ever heard of Trentadome, a fellow, I think his name was Jeff or Bob Trentadome, I'm not sure which one. He was beaten to death in a prison in Oklahoma shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing. And, you know, the government tried to cover it up. The Justice Department tried to cover it up. The prison system covered it up. Fortunately, there was an honest medical examiner who said this was a homicide. They did everything they could to conceal the evidence, but the man's brother was an attorney in Salt Lake City. And he took them to court, and they eventually gave the family, I think, over $1 million, or the widow, over $1 million, for the brutal murder of this man in prison. He was literally bitten to death. The prison cell was covered with blood. A brutal murder, and nobody has ever been held responsible for that. The government simply used your tax money to buy off the family. This name is Trentadome. Could that happen in America and be totally suppressed by the media? Of course it could. Just like when they had the trial when Martin Luther King's family brought a suit against the government for the murder of Martin Luther King. And the jury found that the government was involved in the murder of Martin Luther King and not a word in the general media. How could you cover that up? Why, very simply, we have thought control in America, which is why I do what I do. 5 hours a day, trying to get out stories like this. Now, fortunately, why Rick is fine, and we would caution you when the government comes to the door, even if they knock it down, if the police officials do not resist it, you can take it to court later because we still have at least the framework of a court system. Yes, of course, they're trying to infringe on the right of habeas corpus. Yes, they're trying to infringe on our ability to get a free trial, a good trial, but we can still do that. There still are some good, honest, and moral people in our country. And, you know, I think maybe the sheriff did the best thing in the world, Rick, by calling you in. That might have prevented a confrontation. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, and I would like to get him reelected.
All right, fine. Well, maybe you can talk to him afterwards. Are you getting a lot of support from the people up there?
Yes, not so much locally, but around Montana.
Why not locally? Is the newspaper doing a job on you, as most newspapers do?
Well, actually, it took them a month to even put anything in the paper.
All right.
They squashed it for a while.
Well, but I'm surprised that the BATF would make a public announcement on something of that sort, you know, because, of course, that would give you the right to bring a countersuit against them for defamation of character.
Right.
We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Rick, of course, we got 3 minutes before we have to let you go. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of people out there in the listening audience who, you know, needed to hear your story. And I think that you handled it very, very well.
Oh,
and
you.
There is no place at the present time for taking up arms against the government. What we need to do is expose the excesses of government arrogance and the arrogance of the BATF. And I think this is an agency whose time has come to go. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's my thought, too, and Aaron Zellman of the JPFO is doing a documentary called The Gang, and if someone would like to go and donate even just $5 to that off his website, even on my website there's a little booth that says Boot the BATFE, and I was interviewed for that documentary, so...
Was that before or after they raided?
No, after they raided. Actually, I was sponsoring it, and I was going to donate some frames for an auction to help fund it, and then I got raided. So Aaron paid my trip down there and back, and we did an interview there, and there are quite a number of high-profile people in that. And when it comes out, I... just everybody buy it and play it for their sheriffs.
And let me just simply mention that Aaron Zellman is in charge of Jews for the Preservation of Firearms, a great American patriot. He's a great big guy. He's just about as big as I am, but a little more skinny. But he's dedicated his life to this, to trying to preserve America. And, you know, I hope he's getting a lot of support from people across America. If you have not yet seen his other videos, he's got one on gun control. And I will tell you, it is one of the most devastating videos I've ever seen. Do you have Aaron's website handy at all, Rick?
Yeah, it's jpfo.org.
jpfo.org. And go there and get his video on gun control and how it worked in Armenia before they slaughtered the Armenians. How it worked in Russia before they slaughtered the Russians. How it worked in Germany before they slaughtered the Jews. How it worked in China before they slaughtered 40 or 50 million Chinese. Then they starved another 30 to 40 million to death. And then, of course, how it worked in Rwanda. Remember, they took the guns and the weapons away from the people in Rwanda before the slaughter began. Could it happen here? Ladies and gentlemen, I fear that it will, because there are people with the same mentality, the same people who blocked the intervention of the UN forces in Rwanda that could have saved 800,000 lives, are at work in America today. God bless you. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course we hope that many of you will certainly help Rick. I think he deserves your help, and of course get Aaron's videos, and of course we hope, of course, you'll want to get our videos as well, and we do have a new video that could just come out by William Lewis. It's called A Nation Under Siege, and I'm in that, as is Jim Mars and Joan Vian and Joyce Riley and certainly Charlotte Isabey and so many of the people, Dr. Rima Labo, who we've had as a guest here, an awful lot of people putting a story together to explain what's really going on. The video is A Nation Under Siege. And what's the nation? The United States of America. To really understand the spiritual aspect of this, of the award-winning DVD, entitled The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, I have a small part in that one as well. And I want you to know I don't get anything at all for any of these small parts. I just want to help get the information out, and I'm privileged to have the opportunity to appear in these. We have Megiddo 1 that's put out by Chris Pinto, which is the story of the spiritual battle we're engaged in. Of course, Megiddo 2 is the story of the world from the Garden of Eden right up to where we are. And I've forgotten whether it's Megiddo 1 or Megiddo 2. They have this woman who's a medium. And when you see the transformation of her as she gives herself over to the dark side, it is some of the most gripping film footage you will ever see. So these are all available along with the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, available here at Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I do want to mention our health products. We carry something called Alibiotic, and it's got elderberry juice, which is great for influenza, and oil of oregano and garlic, and three or four other things in it. We carry all sorts of health products, and we hope you'll want to get yours to us, because it'll help us to continue doing what we're doing. We have a health catalog. We're carrying the things that we take ourselves, which we think are important for your health. There are two items that are put forward, offered by Bill Sardi. We don't want to compete with Bill, so we give you his telephone number. If you'd like a health catalog, we'll be glad to send it to you. But you need to be taking large doses of vitamin C and D and E, and we have all of the basic essentials that you need to have for good health, the fish oil, the selenium, the magnesium. You need to have magnesium. We're all deficient. And, of course, you need to get the book, The Miracle of Magnesium. I believe our health catalog really gives you an excellent overview of what's going on. We do carry the Berkey products. If you get your big Berkey through us, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we produced. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website at www.radioliberty.com and look at the items that we make available that do help keep Radio Liberty on the air, and things that you need, information you need on health. Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. The book, The Miracle of Magnesium. The book on statin drugs. It's so important that people understand that statin drugs are hazardous to your health. And if you look at the longevity, in other words, with how people die, just as many die on the statin drugs as without the statin drugs, only lots of times when you're on statin drugs, you're a lot more miserable because your mental facilities begin to go. You begin to ache all over. Why? Because it suppresses many of the vital enzymes. And, of course, as it poisons your liver, it poisons you as well. One of the greatest scams of all time is statin drugs. We have got a great four-tape set on statins. We've got a book on statins. You need to get this information. You need to help us to get it out. You need to know that they're poisonous with fluoridated water, and 67% of American communities have fluoridated water. If you want to verify how poisonous it is, you go to the website of the scientists who work for the EPA, NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. Pull down that website, or you can get that from us if you buy some of our products, and just ask for a free copy. Why, we'll be glad to get it for you. You need to get my video, The Hidden Agenda, and you need to get the syllabus that goes with it that has all the scientific studies that show how they're poisoning our people. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until next week, or I guess tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.